Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:50 Central African time, consciously connected and keeping you company. And that time of the morning where we get into the segment Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmed Farak. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Ahmed. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafat. What a beautiful, fine, cloudy Sunday morning. Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, I wanted to start off with the kafan dafan, but I noticed that, alhamdulillah, we have messages coming to you from around the world. And let me read this off Harun. I mean, he's in London, but he's got the fikr of the people down here. And Harun, this is what Harun says, the residents of North Beach are fighting a losing battle with the homeless, rummaging through wheelie bins while waiting for DSW to collect them. They leave a huge mess in the process with dirt all over the place. Just on Friday, Metro Police fined one of the buildings 5,000 rand for mistakenly leaving one of the bins on the roadside. Yet Metro Police cannot deal with the problems of the homeless rummaging through bins. What advice can you give? Please, Uncle Shafat, address with our counselor, the man of the moment, Councillor Ahmed Farak. Ahmed, how do you respond to Harun, who's in London, but his fikr is here in Durban?
Shafat, firstly, I compliment Harun, who's in London. I've been speaking to him quite often. When I was in London as well, I also had a chat with him regarding some issues that I required information. Alhamdulillah, he's a very good friend of ours, and alhamdulillah. The issue about bins that the paras are opening them up and messing the street, messing the roads, is a major concern, and Metro Police is in the right. In fact, one or two people in the Grey Street TBD were fined about 5,000 rands. That complaint came to me. I wrote to Metro Police to reduce the fine. The issue that we are faced with, Shafat, in Stingo Beach, they come on a Monday to come and pick up your bins. But what you do is, you don't put your bin on the morning when they have to pick up your bin on Monday. But you'll put it on a Sunday afternoon and you leave it there. Number one, the dogs come and open up those bin packets. Then the paras you got, they want the bottles, the plastic bottles, they want cardboard, everything from there. And they don't close those bin bags and all. It makes a mess. Harun is right in that sense. But who do you blame? In fact, I'm not moving the focus of the council. They're not doing their work. We know the council is in a hell of a disarray at the moment. But in this case here, people know that you need to take out your days on Monday to Friday, but they're going to do it on an odd day. And some people, they know the DSW only coming to pick up on a Thursday, but from Tuesday, they're going to leave the bin out on the road. Shafat, now, who do you blame in that case there? Because they're making it difficult for everybody in that road. In some cases, in Musgrave, we actually are picking out those bin packets and going and putting into the dump site, because we know the truck is only coming on, especially in the Musgrave area. They come on a Monday or a Friday in certain roads and all that. So what do you do? So people need to, they know exactly which day is your bin day, when they will, your bin need to go outside. You have to put it outside. And they will come and take it. And as soon as and some of them got those green bins, they leave it outside for a few days. And those paras will come and take your bins away too. And they need that to load all the plastics and everything else. So that's where the problem is. So we need to educate our people that these are the days you put it out there. And you then, if there is a problem after that, then we can take it up with the council. Then we can take it out with the DSW, where they're cleaning the road. The people that are picking up the dirt, all that we can take. That's the only way we can get things right, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, Harun makes a point about these homeless people coming rummaging through the bin bags and all that. And if you confront them, they can get very aggressive. I mean, they just don't listen to anyone. They just come and do what they have to do. And, why isn't the city doing anything about the homeless people? There may be thousands and thousands of them in there. I mean, North Beach, South Beach, and so forth. But the whole of the beachfront is virtually is captured by them, Ahmed.
Shabbat, they shelters for them and everything. You see what happened was, after 1994, these people came out from the rural area. They got nothing else, and then they cannot get job here. And in fact, with the job, at the moment, the country is going through, 50% of our country is unemployed, and people are going into things like picking up cardboard. They're trying to do whatever it takes to make some money and to sustain their families and all that. That is the big issue we are faced with. And in fact, you saw the Minister of Finance have increased the grant for the community, have increased the pension for them. But that is not going to make any difference. The thing is this, these people are here, there is no shelter for them, and most of them, they are living out in under the bus stops, and I know in Musgrave too, they by the churches. We try. You can get Metro. Metro has it, does not have staff. Metro Police supposed to have 200,000 workforce. They are working with a skeleton force of about 15,000 at the moment. How can you service a massive city with 111 wards with a skeleton staff? SAPS, you don't have the full complements of staff. Their vehicles are not working. Metro Police vehicles are not working. You cannot get a tire out of the workshop from the city. So these are the problems that we are faced with. We can only do so much in the city, but if you get a good, like what we did, and I'm telling to everybody, Westville is very, very strong. Glenwood is very, very strong. Amslanga, all some of these, Belito. You get a good ratepayers association and you get your own team. Shafat, they don't come near you because you are cleaning. You work with the city with this. There's a special department at the city. You go to Hussein Mullah, will guide you exactly how many staff from their side they will be able to give you, and you can keep your city clean, you can keep your area clean. At the same time, you'll get rid of all these guys, the homeless, the paras, what we call them. You won't have all these things. And that's the only way, Shafat, and you'll see in the other areas, in Pinetown is working. It's working in Glenwood. It's working in Musgrave, which we formed toward the ending of last year. We formed a fully fledged ratepayers association, and it's working like a champ. We got six staff, we got our own vehicle, we're cleaning the street, we're making sure anybody that is pulling the dirt out on the days that they should be not pulling it out, we take photograph of it, we go there and we go and speak to them, and we're making them make sure that they must keep their street clean, and it's working for us so far.
No, absolutely, Ahmed, making a lot of sense. Then people, if you listen very closely to Ahmed, how he says, the Ubuntu or the community that you live in the area that you live in, there should be, a consensus of opinion. There should be this, everyone, if there's a project, have a shura. I mean, perhaps Musgrave, very fortunate to have a leader like Ahmed in his midst. Talking about all the other communities, differently what happens when a idea is mooted and, subscriptions are required. You'll find, out of 2,000 residents, only 100 will be paying. And the whole thing goes pear shape and being compromised. But if you have this unity, and you can go up to the people in charge and say, you know what, I can't afford so much a month, but I can give a portion of it, and they will be understanding. But if you have that and you can make a difference, and then shortly we will even have areas where we need to have our own groups to protect us for security.
Shabbat, when you listen to what is happening with the Ukraine and Russian war that is taking, just is going to be about a year now, and they put sanction of $500 billion on Russia. They're still surviving, number one. Number two, they got the support of the Chinese government as well. Thirdly, they put a 12-pointer. They want to sees the war in Ukraine with the Ukrainians. Now they need to come to the party on this year, and in fact, they are actually escalating this problem more because there's an outside interference coming, especially from the U.S. They spend like $46 billion supporting the Ukraine. And if you're going to get support from Australia, Canada, and the UK are going to support the Ukrainian, it's not going to, this thing is not going to, for a long, this is going to be another long haul for another 2 years, if this is how it's going to go. And in the end of the day, there's not going to be any winners. And Russia will stand on his 2 feet, and I've already did the damage is done. There's nothing much can happen more now. So that is the best policy should be. They need to get round to the table and resolve this problem and get it. If it was anybody else, the U.S. and all the other countries should have been jumping. If it was any Middle Eastern country, look at this year. For a year, all the European countries are sitting back, but they're pumping money. Big money, and what they put money into Ukraine, $46 billion. They didn't even use that money in Afghanistan or anywhere else. So they're putting money because it's a European country. That is where the problem is.
Yeah, good point indeed. They're putting money all over, but within America, the highways are falling. There's no medical care. There's a lot of homeless people. And they shooting all over, killing every day in America. The people are like left alone to roam and do whatever they want to do. But America is more worried about destabilizing other governments and other countries. Well, also within their own countries, everything is imploding. I'm looking at a message here in front of me. Adam says, Assalamu alaikum. Really enjoying the program this morning. Chef, this is a very powerful show, Consciously Connected. Absolutely, I agree with you. I enjoy it. And you must enjoy it with Ahmed Parag there and with Adam Kamda and all these lovely teammates. And also we have Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam. He says, I really identify with what Haroon has said. And I was watching the other day, Ahmed Parag, that when there was this DSW, they were watching all the vagrants there. But when it was an Indian, I saw them actually go and attack him and chase him away. But they allowed their own kind to carry on destroying the bins and so forth. Ahmed, is racism that rife amongst, the police force and all their own kind? You know, he's talking about that they leave, but the other kind, they hit them and maybe even prosecute them. What's your thinking on that, Ahmed?
So far, there is the use that you cannot stop because, you know, obviously they're going to shield their own kind and you know, they know what they are saying is their community is suffering more than anybody else at the moment. And they, you know, far as we are concerned, actually they say, and we in government, we believe one thing, there's no, when it comes to racialism, we are very, very stringent. Even the city is very, very stringent. They take anybody to task when it comes to racialism. So, you know, there will be rare cases that you will find that, you know what, they will overlook because if he's an Indian and there's a black person there digging into the bins or anything, they'll leave him and they'll chase the Indian guy away. And this is sometimes happens, you know, you can't stop that. In fact, it is reality on the ground. It does happen. But, you know, if you bring it to the attention of the council, then obviously we will take it up very, very strongly because the thing is, we have got a policy in council and government level. There is no racialism. We don't accept it and we will not tolerate it.
Khalil says, Assalamu alaikum. Straight talk with Ahmed Parag and Shafi is great indeed. Please, Ahmed, I want to tell people when your electricity bill is about to be given to you, pay it and don't fall a prey for them to come and disconnect. But a bigger thing, Ahmed, the person that comes to disconnect our bill, our electricity, and then we are giving them a bribe of 500 rands. But tell them, Ahmed, that if this bribe can be picked up because the electricity will be running and the municipality can pick this up. Ahmed, so many of our people are paying bribes to this unscrupulous people that do connection and disconnection. Please talk to us about it. And it conscientized the Ummah this morning. That's a very good point there, Ahmed.
Shafat, first and foremost, we must educate our community. If there's a problem in their building, they must lodge a complaint. And okay, most of them will say, you know what, we want to phone the council offices. We like virtually stand, we wait in a queue or to get through to them. It takes maybe 4 or 5 hours. Then the next best thing is to go to the council office and object. Once they have recorded that and you have got a reference number, they cannot disconnect you because you have already object, because you don't have the money. What they do sometimes, they don't even come and do the proper reading, and they estimate, and then, you know, you took to put 2-3 wrong figures there. It would shoot your account up from normally you paying 3,000, it'll go to 15,000. Now, where do you get that 15,000 to pay? Because they think you must pay it and then complain later. No, you can't go and complain it and tell them, right, I'm paying 3,000. This is the amount I'm still paying. I paid my 3,000 there. For the last year, I'm paying in the region between 2,500 to 3,000 rand. I have not increased any more tenants or in my property. I have not put both stove, fridge, aircon or whatever. That's number one. You need to sort that out. Those guys are coming and their job is, if you haven't paid your rates, see, Shafat, you must understand. Previously, you used to have single billing used to come for, one for your rates, one for your water and one for your electricity. So most people, they used to pay the light and the water account and they were ignoring the rates. So what they did was the council then said, okay, fine. To eliminate this problem, we will now take 1, 2, 3 and we amalgamate it into one billing system. That billing system, to be honest, Shafat, we spend billions of rand to get a proper billing system. That whole system, it is going to go in the next 1 month, is going to go in the wayside. They're going to throw all that whole system into the dumps. If they lucky, they might pick up 500-600 rand at the scrap metal, because that system is finished. You can't use it. They couldn't master it. They couldn't do anything about it. So they're going back onto the old system. The old system is also is going to be the same, three billing system into one, but you don't pay your rates now, and you paid your light and water, they still can come and disconnect you because you're in arrears. That's how they come. So what you need to do is, it's very, very simple. If you're a householder, go and pay the 621 rands at the council's office. Get yourself a receipt. You have already lodged the objection. The reason the 621 has come into play, because you have missed the deadline of the 31st of July this year, you missed the deadline, last year's deadline, so you have not objected, so you have to pay a penalty and you go and object. Once it's in the system, whether it takes 1 month, 2 months, it normally takes anything from 6 to 8 months, the objection, then they will look at it and they will give you a credit, but they won't give you your money back, which they won't do a DFT into your account. Forget that. You're not going to get it. They'll give you a credit, which means now you're going forward, you're paying, you don't have for the next maybe 4 or 5 months, you don't have to pay your account because you have got a credit with the council. That's what it is. So those guys that are coming and disconnecting your electricity, you don't pay them nothing. Because what they will do is, Shafat, they will go away today, they'll just make a note. Tomorrow, they will send somebody else there to come disconnect it. Now you will have to look for another 500 to pay that guy. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it? So you're back to square one. So the system is, because he has to go and report, he's got 10 disconnections for a day, he has to go to his superiors and say, 1 to 10, I've disconnected 7 years. This 2 year, I cannot get into the property for whatever reason, or the meters are not on the roadside or anything. So then they will have to make plan B to send somebody else to go and disconnect those people. Because if you don't pay your electricity, they will disconnect you now because there is no money. That's why they're going full out. They, in fact, employed more people to go do disconnection. So those people are paying those bribes. The guy comes today, you paid him, you thought you were off the hook, you must see in the next two or two and a half days somebody else is coming to disconnect you. So you got no chance. You're not going to look. You rather might as well go and pay your electricity bill than paying those bribes.
Well, Ahmed, they do the wrong thing, then you still get into bigger trouble. But do the right thing, and then you'll be clean. And use and listen to what Ahmed Parak says. Don't, if you got an exorbitant bill, if you can't get through, go and lodge the complaint. Take that, make that trip and go to their offices and get a reference number. Then, inshallah, you'll be on the safe and narrow. Yes, Ahmed, looking at this question, he says, Assalamu alaikum, my brother Shafaz Ahmed Parak. I like to stay anonymous. I want to tell you that few years ago, a building inspector passed my property and I was building on an awning only. And he came and told me it's illegal and he says, okay, give me 500 and you can carry on. I carried on, but at the end of the month, he sent me the fines for it. And I was so scared, but I had lost 500 rands, but they made me bring down my structure. Ahmed, what do you do in a country that is so compromised? Ahmed, how do you respond to anonymously?
Firstly, if the building inspector came, before you give him any money, always take his number down. Take his phone number, take his name down. At least then you got some leverage where we will be able to lodge a complaint. This is what happened. If it's an awning that you have put on and if you have already put the structure on the basis of he says, okay, fine, I walked away with 500 rand bribe, and you have already put the awning on. And you shouldn't have brought the awning down. What you should have done is do a plan quickly and submit the plan. Then the inspector will have to come and reassess it and pass that plan. That's all you should have done. You shouldn't have lost your money by putting it up and then bringing it down again, because you should have just got an architect do a plan for you and submit the plan. Maybe they'll charge you a penalty. You should have been much better off paying the penalty than going and paying the bribe. That's the easiest and the best way, Shafaz.
Yeah, I wonder how these people get away literally with the murder. This question says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I really enjoy you. I really want to know some updates on Kafan Dafan. Really missed it. We made a mistake. We didn't talk about Kafan Dafan this morning, Ahmed. Any updates on that?
Next week, I think we need to do we started with Kafan Dafan maybe for the first 15 minutes, and after the news, we'll go on to our political arena. Shabbat, alhamdulillah, we have already engaged with the Department of Health. We have engaged with the Justice Department regarding the X-ray machine. As I said, I'm working all out for the June, July to see if we can get the right premises to put one model in South Africa, the first in the country, to see if we can get the thing. We are working with some of the private hospitals who have got these X-ray machines, similar to what we are looking. Maybe we're going to do a test case in one of these private hospitals, if it can be worked, what we are looking for. But I'm convinced what the research I have done over the years, and when I went to the UK as well as the machine, that what we have to bring is not the one from the UK or China or India. We have to bring the machine from Switzerland. That is the best. It detects all the elements that what we are looking in the body. We will be able to do that. And I'm speaking to some of the top knobs in the Department of Justice, and they have guided me properly the way we should be structuring this whole center, where we'll be able to avoid this post-mortem being done, and we'll be able to expedite it in terms of Sharia as well. We don't want to open the bodies and you know, we open the rib cage, the skull and all that. It's not a good sight to see. And you know, when the coffin is brought to, the janazah is brought home, sometimes the blood oozes because of pressure. And in the lady especially, that's why we always cover it. We say wherever post-mortem is being done, we bring the janazah at home far as possible. We don't open the face too. And most cases, people insist that they want to see the face. So we bring an extra piece of sheet that we try and cover much as possible, where we, especially the oozing normally takes from the stomach as well as the skull. And we try and put some sheets there so the ladies don't see that the blood was oozing or anything there. We try our best, because you know, because of the time constraint, and, you know, take that Nakuda, gunshot that father and son was shot last week, Friday, and I had to do the post-mortem this week. Shafat, the amount, I maybe went through maybe about 300-plus calls for that Nakuda. Every single guy in the country phoned me, every single burial organization, you name it, whoever knew Mandro Parak, they phoned him. Eventually, you know what, I went to sleep at about 11:30. That time too, their phone never stopped. Hey, my Uncle Mandro, what are you doing about Nakuda? He's my cousin. He's my friend. Hey, you name it, they phoned me. Doctors and lawyers, you name it. Whoever they had contact with, maybe this fellow was in Quadaguza. He was well one of the known guys or something. Hey, you Shafat, that day, I think I had to charge my phone maybe twice or thrice, man. They just never stop. And each one you say, you know, it's better for me to put a recording. If anybody phoned, I said, I'm sending you the clip. Listen to the clip. It's like that, Shepard. But everybody was concerned. So we managed to get a postmortem. And the next morning, that was the first body on the train. And we managed to do the postmortem quick as possible. So this is what we try to avoid. If we can do that, inshallah, with the help of Allah, what we are aiming, we will be the first in the country, you know, whatever we're doing is only for the pleasure of Allah. And you know, it will ease the pain and the trauma that what we're going through when it comes to post-mortem. Now, post-mortem, now that, like as you, I've just said, 300-plus people phoning to get that phone, do something about it. I said, you know, it's all on track. We have sorted it out. You know, the burial guys in Stanger, Yakub, the Ibrahim Mukherjee, the Yakub Desai, they all, you know, they know that what they're doing. And once we tell them it's going to happen certain time, they know. I just phoned him and I told him, don't phone me, I'll phone you certain time. You go to the morgue, the body will be ready. And the body was ready. They loaded the body, they took it for Ghusl. They sorted everything out. And by 2:30, the Nakuda was buried. So, you know, we can only do so much, you know. We try our best. Then we had an incident. This is very, very interesting, Shafat. And in fact, our listeners need to know. What is the Sharia ruling for us? Life support machine. Now, my theory over the years is I have did this research with Mufti Taqi Osmani in Pakistan. All Muftis in the country, good Mufti, AK, they all give us a ruling. You cannot fight with Allah. Now, life support machine, it just gives you, it just puts a little bit into your body just to keep you. Now, it can last from 1 day to 10 months. It can last one day to 3 years too. If you put somebody in a life support machine, it can last there. Only when you take the life support machine out, then the ruh comes out. So in cases like this, first and foremost, is very, very important. Speak to your surgeon who you're dealing at the hospital. He will give you a proper update on the diagnosis, where we are in terms of that patient and the life support. He will tell you whether we want to leave it on for 2 days, 1 day, or half a day, or whatever it is. The second important thing is get two top ulamas who you work with closely and speak to them. They will give you a ruling that what is a life support machine, whether it's permissible, not permissible. Number three is speak. Have a mashura with the immediate family. If you got a father, if you've got a wife, mother, have a mashura with the immediate and the family in concern. Have a mashura to say, you know what, this is where we are. We have taken the consensus of the surgeon, the doctor, the ulamas, and now we need to take the consensus of the family. This is what the doctor has said. This is what the ulama said in terms of Sharia. And this is where you are. They make the last call, the wife or the father or the immediate family member, brother, sister, whoever it is he's got. They call the shots and they will say, gee, make bismillah and remove the the life support machine. And once you put the life support machine, I've seen plenty over the years, Shafat, you know, I was instrumental in persuading some of the family members, some of the people around me to say, you know what, there's nothing. Sometimes you are, you know, when you get shot in the head or you get shot in places where your lungs and your heart is shattered, you know, with a hollow point bullet, there's nothing left. You're only a cabbage, you know, they say in layman's language, you are a cabbage, there's nothing left in it. Therefore, you have to make the right decision, and Allah knows best. And thereafter, you do whatever is necessary to the post-mortem and get to the boy very quick as possible in terms of Sharia. Hasten to the cemetery quick as possible, and that's what you have to do, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, Allah bless you for that, and very graphic indeed. And, you know, when you talk, it's like as if you're being inspired, Ahmad, inspired by divine decree to talk on your segments, Straight Talk with Ahmad. Talk to me, Ahmad.
Hey, Shafat, this is, you know, over the years, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, whatever you do, Shafat, very important, and I tell this to everybody, whatever you do, you put Allah first. And, you know, the road you're traveling also opens up for you. That's where the barakah comes. You do anything, bring Allah first and say, you know what, I go into government department, Shafat, and you know what, everybody will tell you, I'll give you a typical example this week, Shafat. We signed to, you know, we in Musgrave, we have ladies program, and especially for Ramzan, we got a, for Taraweeh, we got a special place. Now, we have now created an area where you'll be able to move ladies completely separate from the main entrance and everything, which I've put together, putting a walkway, and then we got the church right next door to us. There's two churches. They gave us consent, which we managed to get the consent for about 65, 70 cars. We managed to put all that together. So it will be completely segregated from the masjid. No men will be able to see the woman or anything, you know, fully 100% Sharia compliant. I did this. One of the trustees told me, you know what, Ahmad, you want to put this thing on, you know, you got less than a month from today that, you know, you have to get the permission from two churches. And they have got a fully fledged council. And the one church, they got members from Shepson and Wiley. There's two directors of the church from Shepson and Wiley. And they don't have time. You're not going to get your consent. So far, you won't believe it. Allah made things very, very easy, and Allah's blessing comes. I went to the one first. I said, let me tackle the one. When I did the letter and I went and hand delivered it to the padre there, I told him, you know what, this is what we are doing. There's my plan. This is what I'm doing. I sent it across, gave it to him, hand delivered to him personally. He says, Mr. Farooq, you know what? You brought it on the day. Tonight is our meeting, our council meeting, because we meet every month, once a month. You are lucky you brought it there. I'll discuss it tomorrow morning. I'll give you an answer. Shafat, he came. At 9 o'clock, he was there at my doorstep. You know, my office is right next door. He came to me. He said, there's your permission has been granted. There's your letter giving you the authority to put the gate and put the walkway. Now, the other one, the one with Shepson and Wiley directors and all that, I sent him the letter. I said, you know what? I sent him another letter. Permission is granted from the Christian church, the Norwegian church. We are waiting for you for your reply because we want to start construction. Within an hour, I got the permission already to do that. Yet the trustee said, you won't be able to get your permission. See, when you do Allah's work, Shafat, the barakah comes and the mother comes and you get the work done, Shafat.
Ahmad, a beautiful story indeed, and it comes from undreamed sources, and you're a connected man, and I feel very, very, very close with you indeed. And I know many things that you tell me, I feel that I went through the same, scenarios in life. The greater the opposition, the greater the flight. Ahmad, you're absolutely, mashallah, absolutely brilliant this morning. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go?
Shafat, simple in life is, hold on to Allah. These months of Rajab, Shaban, now you got last few more days before the month of Ramzan. Hold on to him. and everything, whatever is happening in this country at the moment, you know what, Shafak, what is happening here is compared to the UK and America is nothing. These countries are worst off. In the UK, it's bad at the moment, Shafak. When you get 160 churches that has closed down in December, and I was there and I physically saw this thing happening in January before I left. I was there for about a week just to get the x-ray machine thing sorted out. And I saw 160 churches, and these are not small churches. These are big, massive churches where it can take 1,500 to 2,000 people. So things are happening all over the world. And we think, yeah, we are suffering. Okay, we got problem with water. We got potholes. We got electricity issues. But you know what? This is maybe a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things will change. You know, you can't. You must see, you know, after that darkness, you must see some light. And the light is coming. 2024 is around the corner. Inshallah, that light will come. Government has to change. Things are happening. Solar, you know, you maybe in a way, you know, Shafak, very, very importantly, there's no electricity. Plan B they came up with. They'll give you 25%. Put solar up your roof there in Spingo Beach, in your house. Put solar. You'll get a refund of 25% of what's there. But what he's telling you, I'm going to be self-sufficient. I know a few guys spoke to me this week. They said, you know what? We don't want, we told council, come and disconnect us totally. We got our own system. We don't want to deal with you guys. We don't have to worry anymore. We got our own solar system. We got our own battery backup. We got everything. And furthermore, we don't even need your water because we got borehole, and we've got the best purifier you can think of, that purifying our water is better water than the water that we'll have to take from the council. So things are, what it's telling you, we can become self-sufficient without the dependence of the government. That's important. What Islam teaches you, the best support system in the world is what, Shafak? Islam. You support, I support you, you support him. That is it, Shafak.
Ahmed, hey. I got Allah, I got Nabi, and I got one man called Ahmed Parak. Counselor Ahmed Parak, you're doing a sterling job. Allah keep you, Allah bless you. And pray for me as I pray for you, Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullahi. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.